Thank you, Joan. Thank you. Hi, everybody. Is that good? Thank you for including me in this, and thanks, everybody, for being here. I'm going to focus mainly tonight on some poems of mine that have made it into print over the past several years, but the exception is this first poem, which I just wrote last week. So, I wish for a president who knows something more relevant than power in his life. Restraint, discipline, inspiration, sure. But more than this, I wish for a president who has known the opposite of power, complete powerlessness, because only this kind of president will understand and represent me. I wish for a president who worries about losing their health care. I wish for a president who worked a double shift at a dollar store on Thanksgiving. I wish for a president who never owned a car and gets around on buses. I wish for a president who cannot afford Christmas presents. I wish for a president who caught pneumonia, sleeping in an old house in December without a working furnace. I wish for a president who has often gone one or more days without food. I wish for a president who lost their last dollar to some overfed ogre, got locked out of their room, and had to sleep in the cold. I wish for a president who had to walk home from their retail job at night, all the way home on dark, pocked roads through fentanyl forests. Thank you. Thank you. As a disabled person, as a non-binary person, as a poor person, I am utterly terrified by what's happening in this country. I couldn't be more terrified. So, several years ago, I fulfilled a lifelong ambition by getting some poems in Fence, which is a really wonderful journal that I've always admired, and I kind of blitzed them. I didn't know what to say. I had a lot of work that I wanted to show them, so I sent them like 7 or 8 batches, which is not really the thing to do. It's kind of obnoxious, but they wrote back saying, we like your sensibility, and they took 3 poems. And this poem that I'm going to read is extremely personal, extremely intimate. And I should probably apologize in advance for it, because I know somebody's going to be offended by this poem, but I don't care. It's called It's called Mother's Milk, A Story of Oral Fixation and Attachment Disorder. When she gave birth to me, as though that act expended all her womanhood and internal powers, the milk dried up in my mother's breasts, a medical complication. Nurses brought me to her arms to feed, and I got nothing, slobber round teat in my mouth. For my first days, it went on like this, no nourishment. I choked on my own infantile suckling, and my mother, with that innocence of their own bodies many women had back then, didn't seem to know that no milk was coming from her, or else she was scared to speak up, to be defective in body, so she let me lead the way, do my baby thing of sucking for as long as I could stand. By the time the doctor realized, he told her I was half starved, her nipples bitten up for nothing. I would not know about any of this if she had not told me. In her confessional mania for commemorating all bad moments, for spending her life trying to explain her sacred idea of me, though this only served to make me question our bond, begun so badly, and wonder about my tendency to overeat, among other things. Is it why I don't always feel empathy? Because I didn't get milk from her teat? Lord, that infant I was must have been hysterical. Same primal panic returned first times I tried to suck a cock. Too much unyielding flesh far back in my throat, cutting off my wind, giving nothing. Then later, it was like working through trauma, the way I got good at it, the way I learned to give and give, to breathe through the cock and take it in and feel what it gave back in rhythm and thrust and heartbeat, and provide the liquid with my own saliva and what I could make squirt out, the mother's milk finally coming. 3 decades later. Thank you. Thank you. That poem took several years of my life to write. So in this next poem appeared in Your Impossible Voice. And in this poem, I'm a young adult. I'm 18, 19, 20. And terribly shy, very socially backwards, not at all ready for sex, very immature, and just my intersex condition had left me with certain physiological anomalies and a hormonal imbalance. And the first man who ever saw me naked pointed at me and said, "You've got a really weird body." You know, so that kind of like turned me off. And it was true, I did. But anyway, so this poem is where I'm a young adult. It's called What We Held in Common. Some people, by mere overlap of luck, guessed at parts of your soul by looking into your eyes. So you thought and sought to hand them back a key. Open me up, come inside, snatch the pearl you wished to say. But the key they wanted was usually sex, and you were no good at that, frightened by the consequences. You didn't want anyone to see your weird body. Your penis that didn't work. You didn't want anyone to know and see what you liked to do. Music moved you around like a stronger spine, and sometimes the key was a book you had read or dinner out. But love, for that is what it always felt like when a perceptive stranger gleaned your secret. Love doesn't need to be slipped. Any key opens the door. Love just comes in clean. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to thank the great Jill Khoury for being such a champion of my work. It's meant a lot to me. She's published several of my poems in Rogue Agent. And this next poem, she not only published, but she nominated for a Best of the Net back in 2020, which I was really honored by. And this poem was written after I Googled intersex and read the Wikipedia page on intersex because I was trying to learn more about my condition, and I found more folklore and superstition in the piece on Wikipedia than in actual science. So I wrote this poem, and it occurred to me the other day I should probably go back. I should probably log back on and check to see if Wikipedia has, you know, made its article any more substantial. Maybe that'll be like a part two that I write. But this poem is called Queen Bear Googles Intersex. From Wikipedia, I learn that I'm a curse. I'm a supernatural being, and my mother might be a witch. I'm a sign of that. I'm an ancient type. Diodorus Siculus in the first century reports the hermaphroditus. In Rome, what is now Italy, I was rife. I'm plural. I am they and I am them. Early Brits thought common law let me inherit man and woman's share. I'm a self-pollinating flower. I'm the third box, the one you can't check on forms because it's rarely offered and you'd be afraid to check it if it was. I learn what I have always known. I'm a social emergency. Thank you. And the last poem I'm going to read, it was a big vote of confidence for me when Rattle picked one of my poems to feature in their tribute to neurodiversity. I have mild autism, I have Asperger's, and it wasn't something I knew about when I was younger because they really didn't look for high-functioning autistic people when I was younger. It just wasn't a thing. But it explains why I was so quiet in social situations, why I'm still not very good in social situations, and a lot of other things. But this poem is actually not a metaphor. It describes an actual date that I went on 37 years ago. It's called Serenade, The Goods on Me. And it begins with a quote from Frank O'Hara. Once I destroyed a man's idea of himself to have him. I guess it might be tough to see now that I have been an outcast for so long, but I was serenaded one evening on the violin in a classy restaurant by a sweet young lady who was in love with me. She took me out for my 20th birthday. Secret plans had been made. She had gone to the restaurant earlier to give her violin to the maitre d' so he could surprise me during our meal. My baby fat paunch, now larger with the years, my beard that reeked and reeks of weed, my denim jacket hanging on the rack, the fleece-lined one my family gave me long ago to exalt my promise and which I lost years ago. My whole small-town heart sitting there on display should have broken then, I sensed, with the whole classy restaurant looking on as witnesses to this odd event, which nothing came of, by the way. Odd because the town already had the goods on me and did not hesitate, and because I never denied it. She played her instrument proudly for me and my princeliness, such as it was, but I felt embarrassed for the girl, standing there plump as a donut in her lavender dress, making her violin almost sob. She could really play, because I knew what she did not, that I had already tried twice with guys and knew I would do it again. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Yes.